Siren Radio.
Yes, happy birthday, Prince Charles. We like to say that on a constant line because he also celebrates his birthday the same day as Debbie Saywood, who does a whole range of things in terms of teaching babies how to swim. Small world, but another little mini confession there. William, in terms of times past and so on and such like stuff. William, whom would you like to go to? Would you like to actually find out from Eva MacDonald which exciting part of the British Isles Eva will be performing in next summer? It was her third choice, but it's going to be a first choice venue in all sorts of ways. Or would you like to go more to the inner workings of David Fox and find out how he's been just working
No, I want to go straight to Eva. I mean, since you've teed her up, yeah, let's go to her. Third choice, though, a bit tough.
Hello.
Hi, Eva. So, only third choice. What happened to choices one and two?
I think they're a bit further out, so I think they put me at the closest place.
Right, so where's that?
So, it's called Whittlesea Sands, and it's next... Well, it's 20 minutes from Hull. So, it's a little bit further up, and it's just past the Humber.
Right. Mm-hmm. Excellent. And what are you doing there?
The same role as I did this year. It's just at a different location. So, still entertainer, still... vocalist and entertainer and presenter and whatnot. It's just at Whittlesea Sands Holiday Park, which is next to Hull, and it's exactly the same, as I said, just different place.
Right, so how do you warm the crowd up?
How do I warm them up? Oh.
Yeah, well, have you got any sort of tips on how to warm them up?
I literally come out onto stage and be as energetic as possible because it's a holiday park and energy is key.
I like that. Energetic as possible. Although that warms you up, does it warm the audience up? Is it just a case of they kind of warm vicariously by actually seeing you being energetic? They suddenly go, oh.
They do. It does work. If you're energetic, it comes
especially
up in the crowd.
Especially in the winter.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Yeah, but this is the summer, Ben. In the winter, she's going to the southwest.
Heat wave energy.
Unless, of course, they've changed the location of Whittlesea to Australia, which I suppose could have happened. You know, in which case, it would be winter. Point of view. David, I mean, clearly, this has got to be the start of a magic... I mean, magician, singer, dancer, performer.
Yes, yeah,
I mean, there's got to be... I mean, you were just performing for
Nigel
Clough, I believe, and the Clough family recently.
Well, yeah, very lucky to perform at a house party mm-hmm. Back in the summertime. Lovely family. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was a great result for Burton against Forest a couple of weeks back now.
And you play Middlesbrough in the next round.
That's exciting times.
It's football, Bethany, don't worry about it. It's a strange sort of... And being from just outside Birmingham, why would you worry about football? Aston Villa? However, Rory might. But then again, I suppose maybe not, really.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Not to kill the kind of energetic vibes that we had going. Yeah, welcome to the midweek drive, folks.
We don't want to kill those energetic vibes because we'll be talking about the performance art syndrome as the thing proceeds and develops, as well as the importance of fauna. And we look at the Los Angeles City Zoo Association. Whom do you wish to go to now, William? Because this is the time where you are head boy all the way from that land that William Wallace obviously tried to defend but failed. I think it was all due to the Australian accent and the woan, or the woad, or whatever he was actually wearing. Whereas, of course, plus side, get Captain Kirk, Steve Trevor, or the alternate alias Chris Pine involved as Robert the Bruce. Success!
Absolutely. I'd like to go to Bethany, please. Your first evening on, how different is it from the morning gig?
Well, I've got to say, everyone's not really looking as tired. That's probably the main difference.
And after especially. All the energy I put into the morning gig as well.
Oh, you did very well.
I mean, Ben does 84 press-ups in 30 seconds just to psych himself up for the bed.
That's after a couple of beers.
Exactly. Sorry, it's your interview, William. Just continue in your own way.
Okay, so is alcohol allowed for the evening one or not?
Sorry, is that for me? Is that my
question? That's for you.
I'm not sure. I doubt it, to be honest. No drinking in the studio, I believe.
Right, okay. Is that a bit severe, Alex?
No. You can't sort of erect the liver here. You've got to be completely focused. It's like crack troops from the SAS, effectively. You should know this, William, that it's you have to be set and ready to actually go. I mean, it's bad enough that David has plied me with a hyper coffee in betwixt time to actually sort of overemphasize the whole thing. But, you know, we work our way. I mean, Bethany was so excited with the coffee, she spilled it all over the desk, you know, so it's just part and parcel of the whole thing. And I don't know how Rory's going to cope, but it'll happen. That's the important thing. As ever, William, Q key and important aspects, to the extent that I think it's time we invited you to actually cast your critical ear over a tune that we'll actually be hearing later on in the production, by a band called Straw Bear. I'll say that again, a band called Straw Bear. And I will be speaking to the lead vocalist from Straw Bear. Would you like to actually cast your creative ears?
I'd love to hear Straw Bear's efforts, yes.
That's very good. And if you have a chance and you want to actually access the YouTube video of this, you'll see that several of them, in fact, the entire band, are dressed up as Boy Scouts. I know, because the title of the song is called Be Prepared. Prepared. That's why we welcome Heather Knox to the studio. How are you, Heather?
Fantastic, thank you, Alex.
Yeah, always fantastic. It's very good. It's, you see, it's the magic of William Coles, you see. But clearly, we need to find out, what did the team make of Be Prepared? Now, we can share this now, because perhaps Tessa Snott is listening, preparing, obviously, for her protégé, Ian Ray, from Straw Bear. He'll be making his debut on the production after 6 o'clock. David, what did you make of Be Prepared and Straw Bear?
Well, yeah, something nice and relaxing for this time of the day, people driving home. Mm-hmm. So definitely, yeah, mm-hmm. It gets a thumbs up.
Good. We get thumbs up in the events department, do you feel? Heather, from your own point of view, is it sort of the sort of thing you can see Jules bouncing along to and sort of saying, yay, more of it?
She's a bit more of a dance girl, I'll be
honest. I know.
Yeah, we're ravers.
Do you know her first out, True Blue by Madonna? Revealed that to me a wee while ago, and that's, I think it's always been, she's a True Blue girl, basically.
Yeah, she's traditional.
Yeah. Eva MacDonald, Straw Bear.
Hello. Yeah. I thought it was a very uplifting tune. Yeah. I really liked it, especially the beginning part.
Yes. Yeah. Didn't lose it after that.
Did
sort of
you
lose
it?
The first few bars, fine after this.
Do you know what? In the opening bit, I was like, oh, this is a very uplifting, nice tune.
Right. So. And then after that, just collapsed into Nietzschean nihilism, basically.
No. It was very nice.
Bethany.
I liked it. I thought it would be quite ideal, sort of
background revision music. I like quite calm things.
Background revision so, music. Yeah. Nice. Or possibly Brexit music. You know, just, be prepared. See what I did there? No. You know?
The complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Yeah, very much the same.
And Rory, your thoughts?
I thought it was quite a nice campfire-like song. I can imagine myself sitting beside the fire and just, you know.
We would have trialled it here, but obviously it would be a danger to actually set fire in the studio.
Yes.
The only person who's managed that has been David Fox in times past.
No fire or alcohol in the studio.
Have you got the lighter today, David? Because, I mean, I know Heather's always keen to actually have sort of ignition sort of sequence going there.
Watch that speech.
He is serious, Heather, by the way. It's just, I know.
I should have bought my high beers.
Always prepared. But clearly, I was going to ask Ben, but he's vanished and he's hiding under the desk, etc. What did you make of Be Prepared, Please, William Coles?
We want more Straw Bear. I think it's time for the album.
Exactly. Well, we'll find out more about that, Andy and Ray, in the second part of the programme. But it's time for you with a new voice for today, at least, on Prince Charles's birthday, because he specifically said, I would like you, quite honestly, to actually bring on board the amazing Heather Knox to the programme. One would like that very much indeed. So, Prince Charles, Heather is here for you. And it's ready now for your good self, William Coles, to actually have a few words with Heather about things like the open day on Saturday, the Great Mind Sessions, all the other bits of business, or maybe even paving the way for the return of Ellie Sample to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition a week tomorrow on the 22nd of November. So much excitement. I don't know where you start with that one, Heather, but William, it's up to you. Where are you going to go?
Heather, give me your very best pitch for the open day.
Best pitch. So this is our third open day of the season. It's going to be one of our best because it's November. It might be a little bit drizzly at the weekend, but we're looking forward to welcoming lots of potential students to the campus. We've got things like computer science available for people to see. We've got the good siren. They're going to be doing
Just hold that for a moment. Can you just move that microphone slightly more to yourself, basically, so we get you in full sight? Because I don't want the listener thinking, why isn't Heather allowed in the studio? Is it because she was a late arrival that they actually don't allow her to actually speak on microphone? No, she's fine. So we've got most of that, which is fine. We've reached the stage of siren. Please continue.
Yeah, so Siren are going to be doing a broadcast for us on Saturday, telling people about what they do, but also helping us promote the Open Day. It's basically the biggest and best of the university over the weekend, and it's getting to that stage where people actually have to start writing personal statements and getting their applications into UCAS. So we might have a few nervous beans on Saturday, but we'll help them, guide them, and make sure that they want to come to Lincoln at the end of it.
And if you are a nervous bean, we take peas as well and other vegetables at the university. Either sort of leguminous lines are perfectly acceptable. Rory, share with Heather and William and the rest of the thing how you made it to Lincoln. And you've now spent 8 weeks here. Yes, it's week 8, Rory, and you're still here reading journalism.
No time at all. Actually, the first day that I went to, went around the campus, wasn't an open day. My dad just took me up here for a weekend and said, if you want to see what the university's like in person, we're not going to go on an open day, although I did attend one later down the line. We're going to go on a day where everybody's working, everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, and I thought that was quite eye-opening.
Heather, that's a cunning plan, isn't it? People in deep cover, sneaking their students in just to see us when it's not an open day. Has marketing ever addressed that in one of your meetings?
I'm speechless.
Exactly. It's a shock. But let's move on to Bethany. I know it was a wee while ago, Bethany. Nigh on 2.5 years, really. How did you manage to sort of say, I'm going to move from just outside Birmingham in Shakespeare country in the joys of not Sully Hull, but...
Lincoln?
No.
Oh, where? Bromsgrove. Sorry,
exactly.
I'm so
Bromsgrove.
Sorry. I'm really tired.
It's okay.
Sorry. Basically, I sort of started looking at Cardiff University, actually, as my first choice, and I put Lincoln as my sort of backup, and then I didn't get the right grades, but, which was really stressful at the time, but genuinely, since I've been here, I've never looked back. It's the best thing I ever did.
Exactly.
So.
And we have far fewer Welsh in Lincoln than in Cardiff, so that's
exactly,
the result, surely, you know? Obviously, if you're a Welsh person, don't worry about that. We have our place for the Welsh in so many ways, as long as it's... behind the border. No, we're all one together in this Brexit routine. This is wonderful stuff. So does that help, Heather? It's a bit of market research for you in terms of where people are coming from. I mean, clearly you've got the subterfuge open day attendees who come to the not open days, and you've also got the people who actually go to a different country but end up sort of saying, we'll come here after all.
Definitely going to add it into the market research.
Yeah.
And you've got a slogan now as well. Lincoln, your backup university of choice.
I can almost feel the fury coming out of some of our senior management on that sort of basis, really, in terms of that whole system.
I feel like that offends everyone here in some shape or form.
But it was the best decision. I told you, it's amazing.
Yeah, nicely said, William, but I don't think there's a job for you in the events and marketing team at the University of Lincoln in the near future with respect to that as a strap. Like, I don't know, Heather might sort of say, yeah, it's so left field, let's use it, you know, let's go with that, but maybe not. You know.
Maybe we could make it a little bit of an in-betweeners type thing and we can grow on it, but... yeah, I think we might need to stick with Discover Your Future and all those good strap lines we've already got.
Yeah, dear. Wherever you're from, you are home. This is it. Discover Your Future. It's astounding. William, it's been awesome, but as with the best things in all manner of bits of routines, we have to sort of say farewell at the moment. But I'm going to ask David to throw those last two questions to you. So, David, off you go, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link today, William?
Yes, I have, and I am so pleased to have come up with a sort of slogan for you.
Excellent. And will you come back on?
Yes, as soon as the boss asks me. Thanks for asking.
He is, of course, a screenwriter as well from that point of view. So, and given that the University of Lincoln regularly is featured in Empire magazine, it's awesome. Yeah, just getting Empire magazine just to actually see the University of Lincoln's line. It's just, by the way, how is Future 2.0?
Future 2.0 was amazing. We had lots of primary school and secondary school kids here looking around the university and seeing what technological advances we're producing at the university. We also had former graduate from our university, Thomas Ridgewell, with us, also known as Tom Scar of YouTube fame, and he did some fantastic panel shows answering questions about what he does as a day job and how people can get into creative industries.
And in case either you're wondering, it's Tom, T-O-M, Scar, S-K-A, as in Tom Scar, you know?
Thank you for that insight. Because
clearly you might have thought, is that about the Lion King, Scar?
I was thinking it could be Scar.
Could easily be, but it isn't, okay? Because you've got to ensure that you're down with the vernacular,
of course.
The popular from that point. Tom Scar.
Otherwise, popular stuff.
Exactly. How I could face a science fiction group of English undergraduates if I was actually referring to that in terms of cyberspace, the credibility would just drop completely. Farewell, William Coles. We'll speak next week.
Farewell.
You had me baffled. You thought I didn't know. But I know where you going, baby. Long before you go. You can't even snap your fingers or wiggle your toes without the shadow knows. The shadow knows. Stop your diving and you're messing around. Cause I know what you're putting, baby, long before you put it down. You better mind your P's and Q's and your M's and N's and O's because the shadow knows. The shadow.
Thank you. very scary, very scary in all so many ways. But at the end of the day, we need to ensure that things are all right. Rory, I'm going to have to sort. Don't talk when the red light is on. Otherwise, it becomes very problematic on the whole thing. And Amy Parkinson will be devastated that we've connected with her all the way to Manchester, England, as the press officer for Monopoly Events to talk about the awesome For the Love of Sci-Fi. And we say, Amy Parkinson, welcome to the production. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing? Are you well?
Well, very well, and very excited about the fact that on the weekend of December the 1st and December the 2nd, not only, I mean, talk about a sort of joy of joys, not only is Heather Knox would say here, we have a University Open Day on the 1st of December, but we also have in Manchester at the BEC Arena For the Love of Sci-Fi, we've got, and before we move any further, Dee Wallace from E.T., the mother from E.T. is with us. Henry Thomas, Elliot from E.T. is there. Woo! We've also got from Twilight, Peter Frassinelli. Wonderful.
Frassinelli, yeah.
Exactly. We've got the Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno. We've got Jesse Ventura from Predator. We've got Carl Weathers from Predator. We've got Bridget Nielsen from Red Sonja. Oh, my word. And you could even have your photograph taken with two of the cast of Stranger Things. That would be the fabulous Caleb McLaughlin and Gaten Matarazzo on the very same sofa. I mean, what do you guys get up to, really? I mean, you know, year in, year out, it seems that Monopoly Events with your sir Andrew Cleek and so on and so forth, you just produce more magic than, I mean, it's just astounding.
We are so excited. We've got four UK first exclusives coming to Manchester. So we've got Dustin Lucas from Stranger Things. They've never, ever been to the UK to do any sort of signing. So you can have your photo taken live on set, on Will's couch with those two guys. We've got the cast of Predator coming. We've got Bridget Nielsen coming. It's insane. These are big Hollywood names that are coming to Manchester, and we're so excited. The support of the people in the UK means so much to us. It's a family company, and it's a small family company, and we're so excited to put on these huge names coming to Manchester. It's insane.
Well, it's not insane. It's actually happening. It's taking place. And now we've followed and covered a whole range of conventions, from obviously the Sci-Fi London Film Festival with the awesome Louis Savvy, through Sci-Fi Scarborough and various other things. Last year I was gutted. I wasn't able to make it because I was doing open day duties. Might happen about this year. I mean, sometimes, Heather, it's just the sacrifices I make to the University of Lincoln. However, we're there. But let's turn over to one of our ace science fiction undergraduates who has been basically going through a fairly grueling 8-week course on science fiction, etc. And has pretty much been opening up a whole range of things from there. That would be the awesome Bethany Gulliver. Bethany, move the microphone close to yourself. You've had a look at some of them. I mean, for the love of sci-fi.com, Comic Convention Live. Liverpool.co.uk, for the love of the force.com, timequake.co.uk. Your chance now to speak to Amy about For the Love of Sci-Fi.
I genuinely think it looks amazing. I'd definitely attend if I was free. But I'd just love to know what you think is the best thing about the event.
Well, like I said, the company that's hosting it is Monopoly Events. They're a family company. Our slogan is by the fans, for the fans, which basically means we're huge fans of ourselves. Like, we love Stranger Things, we love Predator, we love Rocky, we love all the sci-fi films. So every time that Andy signs one of the guests, you know, he rings me up, he's like, oh my God, Amy is to sign his guest. So we're as excited as you guys are. We, like I said, we've got so many things happening. We've got a concert on the Friday. Ray Parker Jr. is going to be singing Ghostbusters. We've got Gaten coming on the Friday for a special concert. He's going to be there with his band Work in Progress on the Friday before the convention. These are all exclusives that have never been done before in Manchester, and we love Manchester, we love the people. We've just finished a convention in Scotland where it was crazy. We had Lou Ferrigno and David Hasselhoff, so we just love sci-fi ourselves. We're huge fans, so like I said, every time we sign a guest, we're genuinely bouncing around the room ourselves, especially when obviously we can put these and we can make people's dreams come true.
Sounds fantastic, and I think definitely your love of sci-fi will come across in the event then. Sounds brilliant.
Absolutely. Like, I'm a huge fan myself. Like, I love the sci-fi films, and obviously, like, the Stranger Things cast, we're so excited about having both of those guys, and they're really nice guys. We can't wait to introduce them to Manchester. And we've got people travelling from Europe, we've got people travelling from Scotland, from London for the convention. And it's just, you know, the most important thing is that we have the support of the fans, the real sci-fi fans, and you know, that's brilliant, and it's like a family convention. We've got props there as well. We've got cosplayers. We have a £1 million cantina, Star Wars cantina, on the first floor, so people can go and have their picture taken with sci-fi people and cosplayers. So there's so much going on at the event. We're really excited about it.
Now, we're looking at the video now, obviously playing silent in the background with Monopoly events from that perspective. Heather, I mean, you're a seasoned pro when it comes to this, I know, because I was listening to some of your archive footage when you were with a certain college in Lincoln called Lincoln College. I know, I thought, is this the Heather Knox? I thought it was Heather Knox. What are your thoughts on sci-fi and for the love of sci-fi.com?
It looks like an incredible event. I'm intrigued that you've got all these great names and faces. How long have you actually been working on this to bring it all to the UK and in Manchester?
Something like this probably takes between 2 years to a year. It depends, obviously, like the biggest signings can take up to 2 years to sort out. But usually we work on time periods of a year. So that's booking, because obviously you've got to wait. You've got to make sure that the guests are available to come. And obviously, you know, we want them to do, like, so many cool things when they get to the event. So, yeah, you're looking at between two to one-year period, just depending on who it is.
Last year, I honestly thought the Higgs boson particle was going to collide in the Hadron Collector and the universe was going to be coming to an end, because we had in, for the love of sci-fi, David Hasselhoff and William Shatner in the same building at the same time. I mean, Shatner and Hasselhoff. I mean, Rory, even as a Doctor Who fan, you must think that was a pretty awesome lineup.
No, that is pretty cool. To be honest, you've got me sold on Ray Parker Jr. singing Ghostbusters. but no, what's your favourite thing that you guys are holding for the event?
Oh, there's so many things. Like I said, there's so many different elements of the convention. Like we're really excited to have Gayton with his band Work in Progress, obviously singing sci-fi songs on the Friday on a special opening concert. There's just so many cool things, and obviously, like, we've built an E.T. set, so we've got, obviously, the three guys from E.T., the two boys and the mum, obviously, Dee Wallace, and you can go and have your picture taken on the set of E.T., so we've kind of built a special set for that. So all the special things that we've got, not only do you have your photo, you can have a triple or double photo shoot on the set of the actual movies, which makes it special.
Now, you might well be thinking, yeah, fine, but that, yeah, are we talking £1,500, £2,000 a ticket? I mean, what are you talking? There must be a decimal point wrong, because all of this is available, I believe, for a mere £45 for the 2-day ticket, or thereabouts. Is that the ball?
Yeah, we've got a couple of deals. Yeah, if you just go to our website, For the Love of Sci-Fi, yeah, we've got a few deals. We've got family deals on there, under 10s getting free. So, yeah, there's a couple of deals on there, and then you can have your autograph, you can now have something signed if you want to bring something for the artist. You can have a photo shoot with them, you can have a selfie with them. So there's different combinations just depending on what what our fans want.
It is.
There's loads of different options.
I mean, the only thing I can say is that we've had comicconventionscotland.co.uk. By the way, whereabouts in Scotland was the event being held, Amy?
So it was at the Edinburgh Conference Centre, and that we just finished that. Well, that was if you Google Comic Con Scotland, we finished it last weekend, and it was at the Edinburgh Convention Centre. We had about 7,000 to 8,000 attend. So it was a really successful event. We've never done an event in Scotland before, and we were on ITV News, BBC, Scotland, so it was great.
Amy, if ever there was people who were desperate to ensure that the United Kingdom remains united in these heavy, turbulent political times, it has to be for the love of sci-fi. Don't just think of it as putting great events on. Think of it as diplomacy for the 21st, 22nd and 23rd centuries.
Thank you.
David Fox, as a Scots citizen from, of course, Glasgow, so I'm not sure whether Edinburgh even sort of comes into your sort of psyche at all, etc. Any questions you'd like to put to Amy Parkinson?
Well, fantastic, Amy. I mean, it's incredible to see this, you know, what you actually put together. And I think, actually, being a magician, I know the amount of work that goes in behind organising these events. What I would like to say, though, is with science fiction, what got you into science fiction? Have you always been interested in that right from a child? Do you have any favourite science fiction writers that you'd like to tell us about?
I mean, to be honest, like obviously, you know, I love Predator, I love E.T., I love all these science fiction films, because film is about escapism, and I think if you can watch a film and it takes you completely out of your normal life, that's why, you know, obviously directors like Steven Spielberg, who directed E.T., was such a classic. He had such a vision that you can't even comprehend what they're thinking at that time. And, you know, things like, the classic film E.T., you know, it was beyond its time. So, you know, that's why I love sci-fi films, because it's all about taking you to, you know, to another planet, to another place. you know, to another solar system. That's what's so special about sci-fi. And obviously back then, you know, we didn't have CGI. They were all puppets. So it was a lot harder to make a Star Wars film, or it was a lot harder to make an ET film because you had to physically make the puppets. So that's what's so special about, you know, the classic sci-fi films, and that's why I love them so much, because it's not computer-generated. It's all puppets, and it's all very special, talented people making these puppets. I'm sorry.
Never apologise, Amy. It's just, you know, the fans are obviously sort of clamouring for all sorts of things. By the way, where exactly are you? In Manchester Piccadilly Station?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm in a train station. That's so rude. Never
apologise. It's a rule one of public relations, as Ben Lewis will attest to. Never apologise for anything. It's straight, you know, just carry on. Move on regardless. It's bringing the life of Manchester to the heady alien world of Lincoln. We were just describing, Heather, obviously the success of Future 2.0. Now, I'm thinking, actually, here, I mean, given that we're looking at Telefantasy and Society 3 next year, around about November time, we're sort of working on that sort of basis. Do you think there's a place for the love of sci-fi on the East Coast, actually in Lincoln? I mean, Manchester's fine, but what do you think?
Of course, obviously, if the events are successful, you know, in Manchester, and you know, we're happy to travel. We want to move down south. We'd love to do a convention in Lincoln. So, absolutely.
I love that Manchester going to Lincoln. It's down south. It's genius.
Sorry,
head east. It's there. Anyway, Heather, thoughts from yourself?
I definitely think we need to get Amy to the east side and definitely look at some ideas and get sci-fi on the map in Lincoln. We've done a few cosplay and a few Comic-Con type things, but it would be really nice to have something of this ilk in Lincoln and put us on the map.
And let's not forget that for those people who like da 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 da, yes, Rocky is as well being represented by Carl Weathers and Bridget Nielsen as well. I mean, you've got Rocky as well.
This is insane. So Rocky's my favourite film of all time. I'm a huge Rocky fan. I've met Sylvester Stallone, so I'm really excited about it. It's Carl and Bridget, because Bridget was married to Sly, and obviously Carl worked with Sly on a very personal level when the film first came out in 78. So I'm really excited about interviewing those guys. So for me, I'm literally counting down to the event. There's 17 days to go now, and obviously Rocky, it's an Oscar film, you know, it was written when Sly had no money, you know, he was living on the streets of Philadelphia, so it's a really special story. So I'm so excited to talk to
Psychologically, you couldn't wish for a more upbeat number to actually go into the events department at the University of Lincoln, Heather, than actually the Rocky theme. I'm sure you bound up the steps. It's what's in your mind. It's uppermost, really. Yeah, off to another open day.
Absolutely. Of course. Rocky all the way.
Eva.
Let's get that training montage on. Absolutely, it'll build anybody up. That soundtrack's amazing.
let's open it up a little more. Eva McDonald, I know after Saltfleet, where you were performing and entertaining the troops earlier this for 6 English months, I believe.
I don't know, it was from March.
Eight months. eight months in Saltfleet. It's like a month in Marion Band or various others.
Yes. But
have you got any thoughts or questions about this awesome Manchester event?
Yeah, so I thought we've already asked like how much the tickets are, haven't they?
Shall we say how they can get hold of them?
How could you get hold of your ticket?
How can they do that, Amy? How can they get hold of tickets?
So if you just put into the search engine for the love of sci-fi.com, we've got a Facebook page with nearly 27,000 members on. So we'd love people to join the Facebook page. Come and talk to us about the convention. The cosplayers are on there. We've got a Twitter and Instagram. But it's a big family, the Facebook page. So if you want to meet all the fans, or you're not sure, you want to talk to other people, like, come and join our community, because it's about representing people and fans and family. That's what we're about.
Excellent. Sounds excellent.
It is splendid. Wrapping up, of course, with respect to the performance of Ray Parker Jr. actually singing Ghostbusters. I mean, Rory, that's got to be a real sort of show. With a full orchestral background as well.
Yes,
cannot
full
wait.
Yeah, with Yoda as well, doing sci-fi songs. We've got Nick Madeley, he's coming over, and he's going to be conducting the orchestra with Yoda. So we're so excited about that.
Now, that is basically almost fantasy time made flesh, really. I mean, David, I know you're awesome magician, but actually Yoda conducting the Manchester Orchestra.
Wow. Isn't it? Honestly, guys, you'll have to come down.
The Piccadilly Symphony Orchestra conducted by... Oh, wow. I mean, it's just awesome. Yeah. What can we say? Truly tremendous. ForTheLoveOfSciFi.com is the go-to site to find out more details and exciting things about this. As I said to Andrew when I spoke to him, I can't believe a year's passed since we last actually focused on the whole thing. That can't be allowed to happen if we can't actually get there this year, which we will try. But if not, we want to sort of follow through a whole range of other bits and pieces. Bethany, any final closing thoughts from yourself? Does this kind of whet your science fiction appetite and say, wow, you know, Yoda and E.T. in the same building?
Sounds brilliant. Yeah. I might have to go and watch E.T. now.
Yeah, I think so.
No, please, come on, you'll all be welcome. We've got a lot of people travelling from all over the country, and like I said, from Europe, so everybody's welcome at our event. They're all, every time we do one, they're really special. It's not just another event for us. It's run by people that actually love science fiction like myself, so we're really excited. So please come down, we could, you know, drive up, drive down, obviously from wherever you're coming from, but we're really excited. We'd love to have you guys from the radio station up as well, so let us know if you can make it.
Amy, I mean, once again, proving the diplomatic routine here that our Prime Minister could learn from. Teresa, for goodness sake, hand over the negotiations to the sci-fi fans. We'll all be happy then. You know, that's the key thing. Ben will be happy. The whole world will be happy. You know, that's the key thing from the whole thing. And talking about fans, little acknowledgement, we haven't obviously forgotten to acknowledge the awesomeness of Stan Lee. Stan Lee sadly sort of passed away this week. But
yeah. My deepest thoughts go out to Stan and his family, because he was an incredible, you know, guy. Wouldn't have had half the Marvel superheroes that we've got now. Apparently he's created another 50 superheroes that have not even been released yet. So yeah, after he died, his legacy lives on now.
Precisely. And we can also look forward to more Stan Lee cameos, because I think there are at least another 5 cameos that he's recorded for future movies. So yes, he will be there. Aww. He won't be digitally represented.
Thank God.
Precisely. Or indeed, to paraphrase that, Rory, thanks Stan Lee, because after all, in the Marvel Universe, he's created the whole sort of thing. So it's an important thing for that. Let's go to Heather for those last two questions, because I know you can deliver these sort of expertly, etc., in the best way forward. It's the way we actually ask our contributor, Amy Parkinson, has she had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat on the programme today?
Amy,
amazing. Hi, hello.
Hello. So I just wanted to ask, have you enjoyed your telephonic communication today?
Yeah, no, it's been great. It's been fantastic.
Excellent.
It's really nice that we can talk to people that are fans. Well,
customer satisfaction and a positive comment in the positive box. Brilliant. Rory, bear in mind, and indeed Bethany, that we'll shortly be releasing the module evaluation forms. And it's important that those are filled in as well from that point of view. Sorry, that's the only kind of corporate notion I want to go through. And the next question, of course, Heather, is...
Would you like to join us again?
Yes.
Of course. Just let me know when you guys want to chat again. I'd love to be on the show again. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for letting me on. I'm really excited.
I think a round of applause for Amy Parkinson from the joys of For the Love of Sci-Fi and Monopoly events. Hooray! And meanwhile, in a matter of days, you can listen to this live by the man himself, Ray Parker Jr. in Manchester. Frankly, it's almost like being in heaven.
Call Ghostbusters. I'm afraid of no ghosts. likes the goods. I ain't afraid of no goods. You gonna call
Ghostbusters?
If you have a dose of a freaky ghost, baby, you better call
Ghostbusters.
Let me tell you something. Busting makes me feel good. You just want some more. I think you better call
Ghostbusters.
Ow! Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
I think you better call
Ghostbusters.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
I can't feel you. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Loud.
Yes, he'll be live in Manchester. Astounding. The team are actually being amazed by David Fox at present. And why not? Because he's doing some magical scenarios, which is great. And we're going to go up to the news with a little smidgen, just a little hint, perhaps, of Nick Lowe and his medical complaint.
Siren Radio. In radio.
Quite simply, one word. Awesome. It's all right, Nick, don't worry, there will be a cure, but I can see why your heart would hurt, because we're saying farewell and au revoir to Heather Knox. You're off once again. I knew it was too much to hope for a full show yet again. It's anyway, Heather, have you enjoyed your time?
I have very much enjoyed my time.
And there will be another time, will there not?
They will in a couple of weeks.
Exactly. I know. We're talking about the Los Angeles Zoo Lights Association, which starts off on November the 16th and runs to January the 6th. So, Heatherney, there was a conflation there in terms of the strange creation that we're sort of building up with our co-presenters here. Heather, you'll be pleased to know that we obviously need to get the corporate jet from the University of Lincoln to actually fly over the entire events team to Los Angeles to actually just check out the Zoo Lights and the reindeer, which we'll be speaking about. So, hopefully put that into motion, really.
Are they real reindeer?
Are they real? Real reindeer.
Oh,
exactly. Oh! Are they real reindeer? Lord above.
Alex just held up a picture of a reindeer in a very angry fashion.
Exactly.
It's the extreme anger of rustling of paper.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, Heather, I do think, whoa, Lord above. Anyway. Farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye, etc. We will see you again very shortly. And again, a reminder, of course, the open day will be happening. How do people find out about the open days at Lincoln and other manner of wonderful things online?
If they head to our website, www.lincoln.ac.uk, that's where all that good stuff is. You can find out about lectures, courses, open days, and how you can come and see this fabulous place.
Precisely. And we've also got Great Lives as well, which continues to move from strength to strength. My Ben was actually one of the select few who's chatting to Chris Packham on October 31st recently. It's very good. I think Chris was duly impressed and actually said...
Chris is always impressed with our students.
They bonded over cars, apparently.
Ah.
Sorry, I'm not giving away too many secrets there, Ben, but I think it was a case of cars. Is that right, Ben?
Basically,
it's a cars. That's it, then. Heather Knox will return. Jacqueline Dupre is up next. Almost pure audio perfection with the late Jacqueline Dupre there and her interpretation of Sanson's The Swan from the Carnival of Animals. Obviously very apt for Lincoln, England, because of course we have the swan in so many manifestations. Swans outside, swans everywhere. Sadly, we don't have reindeer because we need to go to Los Angeles Zoo and Botanical Gardens and speak to the awesomely talented marketing and communications manager of the aforementioned LAZOO. It's Emily Marin. How are you, Emily?
Hello, it's so wonderful to be back. It's the start of my holiday season every year, chatting with you.
Emily, we have missed you too, and it's fair to say we need to make these more frequent in terms of the connections with the Los Angeles.
I heartily agree.
Yeah, precisely. It's a way forward. That's the important thing. Now, I've already shown the image of the reindeer. Reindeer Romp returns on November 17th, 2018, which, as described by one of our co-hosts today, that would be Rory McGowan, was a fairly angry reindeer delivered by a fairly angry presenter, because one of the co-hosts who's since left the studio, so you don't have to worry about her. But, you know, she actually said, are they real reindeer? Are they real reindeer? I know it's Hollywood, but please, are they real reindeer?
They are real reindeer. They come to us from a ranch. Most reindeer are domesticated, so they're not apt to be very grumpy or hostile. They're very used to humans being around. We have them in a very charming setting called Reindeer Village. We have four reindeer. It's one of the few places in Los Angeles that you can see reindeer. And right about now, people definitely need a distraction, a form of merriment, because it's been very trying here with all of the fires. So this is a great place to come to kick off the holidays and be in nature and be safe and have a sense of community at this difficult time.
Yeah, precisely. In fact, hearts and thoughts go out to one of our contributors from last week, effectively, Randy Naught, who actually had to evacuate his own beachside house, etc. And as a former surfer, he obviously sort of helped people on the beach as well. But Randy, hopefully all's well from that point of view. It's good to see that at least you're well and hale and hearty from that point of view.
Yes, yes. The air is clearing up. People are going back to their homes. The end is in sight for the fires, but yeah, it's been hard. So right now we're offering holiday merriment with our herd of reindeer. We have a youngster this year who we held a special midterm election season voting contest for our young reindeer,
like it.
She has been dubbed Nutmeg.
Fantastic. And that, President Trump, is what actually makes a country great, you see. That gives America back to its whole. In fact, already for 2020, yes. my pitch is for President Nutmeg. Because, let's face it, they must be doing
or at least
job.
On the cabinet at somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
There are apt to be so many vacancies soon.
Yeah, let's turn to our ace political guru, because I've just appointed him to that role, Ben Lewis. President Nutmeg, I mean, surely it's got to be a winner.
Oh, yeah, it would certainly be a spicy choice.
I see. Yeah, you see, if you want a speechwriter any time, be a Democrat or Republican, Ben Lewis from Brighton is your man.
Is that the official line now, is it? Right.
I think so. Okay. Yeah, it's my
self-appointed.
Exactly. It's the way forward. Let's turn to Bethany. Bethany, your first time, I say, on the Midrick Drive, and possibly the first time speaking to the marketing and communications manager from the Los Angeles Zoo and Botanical Gardens. Any questions? Because if we actually are quick and we wrap up the show this evening, we could get on the jet and fly over for a giraffe feeding, which basically is happening at this very day at the zoo. Giraffe feeding, everybody.
This very day. For only $5. It's sensational. It's the best $5 you'll ever spend.
Which is merely £2.50, roughly, in terms of English money. I mean, that's just, yeah.
Yes, such a deal for you guys.
Exactly. And for
come on over.
And for the giraffe as well, we like to feel. You know, it's very important. Anyway, over to you, Bethany.
Sounds brilliant. And obviously, it's probably aimed at children, but do you think there's an appeal for adults as well?
Yes. You know, so many adults have never seen reindeer in their lives. Many can't believe that reindeer
are real
and not fictional. And we also have, on weekends, we have some of our animals opening holiday presents of their own. Our enrichment team devises fun packages for animals like chimps and elephants to basically demolish, and it's very delightful. But also a big something that appeals very much to adults is our nighttime holiday experience, LA Zoo Lights, which starts on Friday and runs through January 6th. It's every night from 6 to 10. And not many animals are on display, though the reindeer are. But what the real treat is seeing fantastical light animals throughout the zoo, rendered in traditional Christmas lights, but also lasers and 3D projection mapping animations, it's extremely popular. A big multi-generational appeal for that experience.
And as we say every year, of course, Emmeline, if you're worried about the nocturnal activities of the animals, I'm thinking, isn't that like, you know, teenagers and social media and Facebook? Are they not going to actually be disrupting their sleep patterns? No, it's okay, because the animals that like to sleep at night are looked after as well.
Yes, and we work in collaboration with our animal care and veterinary team when we're planning out the Zoo Lights event. So as not to, there are some animals that don't go into night quarters, that stay in their daytime habitat throughout the day. And we certainly don't want to interrupt their natural cycles. So all animals that could potentially be disturbed by the lights, we avoid putting displays in those areas. And we even have on event, we have people with sound detectors and light detectors taking readings to make sure that when the event is happening, when it's live rather than just dress rehearsals or tests, when the actual thing is going on with crowds, is the light and sound enough to disturb the animals? And if so, we make adjustments for sure. Because animal care is obviously our top priority. Animal care, number one. Holiday cheer, number two.
Let's move on to our resident magician here, who in the past, of course, David, the notion of rabbits out of hats, it was a natural part of every magician's oeuvre.
Oh, yes, exactly. Iconic.
A giraffe out of a hat would be impressing even me from that point of view. But have you got any questions that you'd like to put from your magical circle wonderment to the ace, Emily Marin?
Well, Emily, in terms of the Los Angeles Zoo, do you have periods of the year where you get very busy? Are you busy all throughout the year? You're constantly on the go?
We have a steady flow of people. It ebbs and flows, for sure. Our peak season is in spring. You know, you think of Los Angeles as really being, you know, 72 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny year-round, and it pretty much is. Mm-hmm. But Angelenos really enjoy getting out there when spring springs forth. And even though winters aren't that hard here, people just feel like getting out and enjoying the spring weather when it comes. So that's really our peak time, and then going into summer, and then when the days are very hot in August and September, fewer people come naturally. Because it's so funny when you think about life in Los Angeles, Angelenos are such babies, really, about weather. It has to be perfect.
Emily, you may say that we couldn't possibly comment. I mean, I know Phil Linus always likes to have his body toned up for every edition of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. He actually does. Lily Holloman's constantly working out, but it's okay. I know it's the way they are. We can go with that. I mean, I'm so tempted to actually channel my inner Adrian Cronauer / Robin Williams and say, "Good morning, gorillas." But what's this?
I mean,
you've got the Republicans in the cities. Oh, sorry. You've got a Campo Gorilla Reserve. It's like Planet of the Apes in the Los Angeles City Zoo.
It is. It's one of my favorite habitats. It's so beautiful. We have a bachelor group because the males like to stick together, and then we have a group of females with one alpha male silverback named Kelly, who's very impressive. You've heard about that extremely handsome gorilla in a zoo in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard about this gorilla, but it is quite a handsome gorilla. But Kelly rivals that gorilla in the looks
gorillas
department.
Gorillas go. I mean, Eva, do you check out other gorillas and sort of say, "Oh, that's quite a handsome gorilla"?
Sometimes I do check out the gorillas in zoos. They are very nice.
Yeah, well, they precisely.
They are, and then our Good Morning Gorillas presentation happens every morning, where guests can see our gorillas get their breakfast.
Exactly.
Which is great because there's a lot of, there's some kind of trading, there's some jockeying for the good stuff, there's some outright theft, which is, they're so close to humans.
They go through the same kind of morning routines. You see, personally, I find that if I'm expected to be social at breakfast, I need to allow myself like 90 minutes, because otherwise, if I'm expected to be social straight away, I know it. I go and work through that. So if you're starting at like 7, I think you've got to kind of deal backwards. I mean, Ben, what about yourself? Morning activities? Do you channel your inner gorilla to actually say, alpha male?
Not quite, no. No, maybe that's an Alex thing. I don't know. Oh, maybe does anyone else do that? I don't think I might be alone in that.
David, do you find yourself channeling your inner gorilla?
Well, maybe a little bit of a joke, male jog in the park, but I wouldn't go as far as channeling my inner gorilla. Not yet, anyway.
I mean, Rory, obviously, time with the air cadets, you must clearly sort of...
Oh, yeah, every time I wake up, I beat my chest violently, yeah? That's how it goes, you know? That's definitely a thing that happens.
Oh, yeah. And if you do that often enough, you can become President of the United States. It's amazing.
Well,
you
know, I know! It's just,
that and inherited wealth, of course. Let us move on.
Hello, and welcome to the Classic Rock Show.
Lord above. Sometimes you think, what's going on here? It's a whole new world comes through there. Of course, that's what's happening in another studio. I had foolishly not closed the channel down, so let's just ease away from that. It could have had anything there. Sorry, technical point there. Rory, any questions that you'd like to ask? Because obviously even your name carries with it that notion of not just gorillas but all sorts of animals. It's Rory.
Thank you. So, reindeers isn't all that that Christmas is kind of associated with. Have you got any penguins at the zoo?
Oh.
Ah, we do not, regrettably. We don't have polar bears or penguins. We don't have any
listen,
of
as,
the Arctic
as
animals.
Chidi says in The Happy Place, penguins are not even real. You know, they must be mystical. You know, so you know we can't have those because they're just fictional. It's like unicorns. You know, you can just step away from that sort of thing.
They're cute enough to be fictional.
Daytime admission, $21 for adults, $18 for seniors, children between 2 and 12, $16. This is awesome. Eva, any other thoughts from yourself for the Los Angeles City Zoo Association and more? And Botanical Gardens.
Oh, yes. Mm. I read about the Botanical Gardens. What does the Botanical Gardens entail? What does it...
Plants, presumably. But plants, it's a good question.
Yes, a multitude of plants. We don't have a separate garden. It's throughout the zoo. I like to think of the LA Zoo as a lush oasis in the middle of the city. We have naturalistic habitats where we try to have the vegetation. And then we have other botanical points of interest, like a cycad garden, which cycads are very ancient plants. They're considered the dinosaurs of the botanical world. And they almost look like cacti. They're non-flowering and quite beautiful. Yes, people often come and go, and where are the gardens? And you're looking at it. It's so great, especially in those hot summer months, to stroll along our shaded paths and enjoy the sights here. It's very lush.
It's just an awesome situation, and that's why we love having you on the program, Emily, in a sort of, you know, regular sort of system. And thanks, obviously, to the new publicist who's been taking over from that point. Thanks, Andrew, we think, for sort of managing to get us together, which is great stuff. Or did I get that all completely wrong? Who was he electronically introduced? Anyway, we thank him in any case. We thank the cosmos. Emily Marin, web address for the Los Angeles Zoo and Botanical Gardens, presumably still lazoo.org.
Correct.
lazoo.org. Have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us on the program today?
I've had such a wonderful time. Thank you so much.
And can we look forward to connecting with you again? Let's not wait for a year. How about January?
Let's make it a monthly thing.
Yeah, exactly.
There's always something happening at the zoo.
That's why we love going to the zoo, because it's the key thing and it keeps us happy across the globe, because there's nothing like doing a radio show when you've got some live animals on there as well as in the studio. It's amazing. It's
yes.
A round of applause for Emily Marin, please.
Oh, gosh, thank you.
focus on an object, the cover to the right. Recently, this technique has achieved something more.
We're listening to music and watching the video as well. Even the mean and moody parts of Strawberry, I think it gets better with the second time of hearing. What do we think, Ben?
Yeah, I think Bear Grylls would certainly be impressed.
Nice. See what you did there. Very good. Eva, you liked the sound in the first part of the programme. Be prepared. Is it getting better second time around?
I did like the sound of the song. I don't know why they're dressed as Boy Scouts, though.
Be prepared. Motto.
Oh, I suppose.
I could be wrong. It could be performance syndrome gone crazy.
Could their outfit fit with the theme of the song?
Well, when we actually see one of the contortionists is actually there, this young lady here. She's doing all sorts of strange things there, as I'm sure you would agree, Bethany. Is that anything? What do you do? Fits with the music, but what is she trying to do?
It's bizarre, but she's having a great time. In that
bizarre, moment. But having a great time. What better way than to actually talk about the third album, Fiction, which is being released by Strawbear, with the awesome lead vocalist and guitarist. We've just heard him singing and performing there. Ian Ray, how are you, Ian?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent, Ian. Now, thanks to the fantastic Tessa Snart, who might be joining us later on. I don't know. Who knows what's happening in Peterborough these days. We're thinking, this is awesome. And looking at the video, I was thinking, well, as lead singer and vocalist, you've got a nice, wonderful 1,000-yard stare. That's working well, etc. The drummer, he's looking mean and moody, as drummers tend to do. And this is a well-known fact where everybody from Animal and the Muppets right the way through Ringo Starr. Sorry, he's great to there. And then, of course, we have the lead guitarist and this performance artist. What is she doing in terms of the sequence, please?
It's a very, very good question. You'd have to ask the director of our videos, a chap called Jake Robertson, who does a brilliant job. Do you know what? I think it's probably because we're not the most interesting bunch of people to look at. So they've got a very beautiful woman to do some dancing, and perhaps that's a way around it, maybe.
I'm damned with faint praise, basically. Awesome musicians, but, you know, perhaps not the... No, I would disagree wholeheartedly with respect to that. It's great stuff there. Okay, in the studio, just to remind the listener as well, we have Bethany Gulliver, who has been doing her research into Strawbear, and quite rightly so, etc. In the words of your good self, Ian, and I quote you here, "We've had births, deaths, marriages and illness since the last full album, all of life's rich pageant, but we're really proud of the record. A record, vinyl." Who would have thought it, David? You know, we're actually into vinyl again. Magician David Fox.
I'm glad to hear that, yes. Yeah, because remember, it takes me back to my childhood.
We also have Rory McGowan. Rory, second time around, what did you think of Be Prepared?
Yeah, now getting to see the music video, that kind of campfire vibe is... gone even stronger.
But thankfully no naked flames in the video. A nice classic case, which again probably could be the thoughts of the director of what can be described as shabby chic, perhaps. in the background. You know, shabby chic, I think that's the technical term for it. When you actually have wallpapers peeling and various other bits and pieces, it's not to do with dress, it's just shabby chic. Ben, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, it's quite a nice song to listen to. May I ask you guys, you know, what kind of works for you in terms of musical inspiration, and also what kind of brought you into the music world? Was there anything you wanted, you looked up towards, or any targets you've got personally, or as a group?
That's a really good question. I think your sort of targets and what you're aiming for change all the time. I suppose when we first got together, there was just a couple of us, and all we really wanted to do, as mega cheesy as it sounds, was just write some songs and make some music. And then what we found was that we got gigs and things started to take off. Our aspirations kind of changed as the music did, really. And we found we were kind of offered a few more opportunities. But if I'm completely honest, we are very much kind of stubbornly semi-professional. We've all got day jobs. Just as Alex outlined, we've all had kids and stuff since the last album. And so we just want, again, mega cheesy, but we just want people to hear it, really.
Well, we're going to hear another little aspect now, which is the opening track, This Is Fiction, which tells listeners that they won't find any songs of heartbreak or autobiographical experience here. Instead, we hear about Charles Dickens' experiments with mesmerism. David? Charles yeah. Dickens' experiments with mesmerism. And an unfortunate woman whose body parts are fraudulently sold as holy relics. Always important. Whilst indeed we've already heard a lead single, Be Prepared, which explains that everything of value, Eva, everything of value can be learnt in the cubs. Sorry for any girl guides who are actually out there, but obviously they made the decision to actually go for the cubs, and that's the way forward. Would you like to introduce the 69 Seconds, which is indeed the opening title of the forthcoming album, Fiction? Please take it away, Ian Ray.
Yes, this is called This Is Fiction. Just as you've said, it's basically saying that the rest of the album, there aren't really any songs about us. They're all about all those mad things that you've just mentioned.
Stay with us, Ian. We'll be back with you after this.
Find us on Facebook. Just search for Siren Radio Lincoln.
Once again, Mr. Computer has basically sort of decided to cause a problem. That is not, in case you're wondering, something that we're sort of saying is a matter of course. Sorry, Ian, your delivery was so excellent, etc. I'd like you to do it one more time, please, and this time we'll get it right. So would you like to introduce it one more time? Thank you.
Yes, of course. So this is called This Is Fiction. It's from our third album, Fiction, by Chabert. And it basically says that the whole album is no autobiographical stuff here. It's just all nonsense.
If you're looking for truth, then you're in the wrong way. For we wander our soul, share our grief or disgrace. Ignore all resemblance to persons living or dead. This is fiction, fiction, fiction. This is fiction, fiction, fiction. We make no judgment of others who share their politics or wisdom, their suffering, their prayers.
We all ask ourselves the question, would anyone even care?
This is fiction, fiction, fiction. This is fiction, fiction, fiction.
Which, of course, many metaphysicians have actually said is exactly like, that we are somebody else's fiction, that somebody is actually writing these words for me, which I'm actually saying in another reality, and our fiction is somebody else's reality, and somebody else's reality is our fiction. Is that right, David?
This is very true.
Nothing is real, as John Lennon once said. This is fiction. What better way than to use that to turn to our English undergraduate, who obviously reads a lot of fiction, or is it truth and reality? Bethany, any thoughts or questions you'd like to share with Ian about fiction, Be Prepared, and more?
Well, I liked that song. I thought that was a bit more gritty than Be Prepared. I was a big fan. But I suppose, as a whole, with the album, how would you say that this third album is different from the others? And is there a particular message to the album as a whole?
Yeah, that's another great question. I think the second album was where it seemed to get quite a lot of attention was for being quite folky and, I guess, a bit wistful in places. Mm. Though I hope that we still had some interesting lyrics and stuff in there. I think this one is a bit more psychedelic in places. It's just, as you say, it's got its grittier moments, probably a bit more influenced by a kind of Modest Mouse and bands like that, really. So it's moved on a bit. I think if there's a message, it's probably what I've already said, that it's just, I really struggle with writing songs that are about me and about expressions of my life and stuff, which isn't the most interesting. They just tend to be about just some crazy things, really, and just finding interesting things to write about. I'm a huge fan of Talking Heads and David Byrne's songwriting, and he can make a fantastic song out of like a piece of paper or air or something else from kind of Fear of Music or something. And that seems to be an approach that works for us, where we just write about things that we find interesting because we're not.
You keep saying that, and yes, I disagree. You know, if you were interesting, we wouldn't actually have you on the show, because we're not going to book people who are uninteresting. You know, unless, of course, you mean that as an uninteresting thing. Strawbear are, of course, comprised of Christopher Gray on lead guitar and vocals, Tom Shipp on guitars, bass and keys, Paz Struthers, drums, percussion, vocals, and the awesome Katie Wicks on bass, vocals and guitars, with, of course, your good self, Ian Ray on lead vocals and guitars as well. Eva, questions for yourself?
Go back to the song, I think it was called Fiction, you said? Mm. Yeah, where did you get the inspiration for that song? Because as we said, it's quite different from the first ones. Mm. Was there any kind of specific inspiration you got for it, or anything like that?
Musically or kind of lyrically?
Both.
Yeah, we felt like we wanted something to... We basically worked up most of the album and it was kind of almost ready to go. And because we thought about it in these kind of, it sounds a bit pretentious, but slightly conceptual terms, that we wanted it to just be about whatever we put, fictional subjects we chose, then it felt like it would be quite cool to just have an opening track that was really, hopefully, quite arresting, mm-hmm. that kind of got people into the record, that was a bit shouty and barky. We also, I think, probably wanted to make quite a conscious move away from the previous record, which was a bit softer and perhaps a bit more melodic for the most part. And so we just wanted it to just straight away sound like something that was completely different from the album before.
The new album is out in 1 week's time. 168 English hours will take you to the release of Strawbear and Fiction. Ben, I know you're desperately keen to listen to the whole album and find out more about strawbear.com, the band.
Certainly would.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, where can we go to buy this? Would it be directly to the website?
That's right, we do have the website. You know, the usual suspects, really. Your favourite streaming service, whatever that might be. It will be available on other formats as well. Just basically launching on all platforms on 21st.
Wondrous. Ian, it's been marvellous, in a kind of slightly dull and uninteresting way. No, only kidding. This is wonderful. It's what we like on the whole system. And your reward is quite simply to make a choice between Once in a Lifetime, Heaven, Psycho Killer, and She Was, Take Me to the River, or indeed Burning Down the House. Which one would you like to go for as far as Talking Heads are concerned?
Oh, it just has to be Once in a Lifetime.
You know, I thought you might go for that, because you might find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
That question just last night.
There you go. It's that self-reflexivity. Up next, Tessa Snart, and probably via Skype from Los Angeles, talking about Black Cats and more, with a natural bzzz on a line. It'll be Phil Learness. Two final questions for your good self, Ian. Have you enjoyed your debut on the programme?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
Will you come and join us after the album's been released?
Absolutely.
Round of applause for Ian Ray, please.
Beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Bethany Gulliver, I do believe your mum might be listening to this. So let's not talk off in all sorts of ways. Let's move that microphone directly around for you, so we've got full, glorious Gulliver sound. And would you like to give a little dedication to your mother now?
Mum, this is for you. It's Claire Gulliver, by the way. And my sister, she's probably listening as well. You all right, Amy?
Well, you see, that is what I feel, bridging the links.
Literally Gulliver's Land, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, Gulliver's Land.
It will happen in so many marvellous ways, even if we actually have to rewrite the ident and jingle, which kind of in the annals of Midweek Drive history goes something like...
Finally, the citizens of Peterborough and Harrogate can rejoice with the legendary Tessa Snart as regular co-presenters on the Midweek Drive.
Yeah, Tessa Snart as regular co-presenters, I know, it's a way forward. Tessa Snart, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. I know you've been impressed to hear that Eva MacDonald is actually back with us. Not just, back last week where she also sort of greeted Hannah Brown, but now you're back as well. So it's favourite part of the show, isn't it, in many ways, Eva?
Oh, it is.
Hello. Oh, hello, Eva.
Hello, are you okay?
I'm very well, thank you. Are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's like a regular phone call.
I know. It's like it's like our little team is back on, back together.
Well, let's face it, although Midweek Drivettes may change and the roll call sometimes adjusts, I mean, we've obviously had two newbies for the first... Rory, you're not... It's your second evening show, really, for yourself. Is it your second?
I believe it's the third.
Third.
I know.
Astounding.
We're moving on up in the world.
Yeah. Bethany, obviously your second Midweek Drive at your first evening show.
Yeah, it is indeed.
Very good. David, well, he's a seasoned pro. I mean, basically, he's regular in entertaining the whole thing.
Always lovely to come on.
Likewise, Ben, in so many ways, he's the kind of Peter Taylor to my Brian Clough, you might say, in historical
sense. Oh, isn't that generous? Yeah.
A Brighton manager. I thought I'd talk devil.
Yeah, Brian Clough was a Brighton manager for about 1 year, I think.
And as I was saying, Nigel Clough, very impressed with the magician there. So
indeed.
It's great. Anyway, just in case you're wondering, Professor Jason Whittaker is listening outside the very studio. He could always come in if he wanted to, but it's okay. One of these things, he will return. Tessa, what are you doing? What sort of things have you... And what have you thought of the show so far whilst we wait for Phil Leonis to connect via Skype from Los Angeles?
I think the show has been brilliant. I loved listening to... Was it Emily from the LA, LA Zoo?
Yes.
That was really, really good. And I couldn't quite believe that some people hadn't even sort of heard or realised that reindeers were real. But I suppose if you've never seen them in the flesh, you don't know.
Yeah.
And obviously, I heard Ian's interview. That was really good. So, yeah, great show so far.
Well, let's face it, Tessa, you actually set up the interview with Ian. So,
any
more dull and uninteresting musicians you like to put our way? That's fine. You know, I mean, I think probably...
Well, I like to vary it up a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the point of view of public relations, maybe you need to just kind of emphasise some of the positivity side of things. You know, saying he's the dullest man you've ever heard is not a strapline I would normally sort of say, this is good. I mean, even Ben, I mean, I think from a PR sort of point of view, you'd say, I'd avoid that, really.
I'm working on it. I'm sending my good vibes his way, or
anyway,
the band's way.
Whom would you like to chat to? We're back to that quintet of quality as opposed to the hextet we had briefly with Heather Knox doing her own magical stuff. Who would you like to speak to? Would it be magician David Fox? Would it be a legendary third-year English student, Bethany Gulliver? She travels the world.
Gulliver's travels, you could say.
Don't oversell the joke, please, Rory. You know, you've got to work it through that. Rory McGowan, who is actually doing that exciting thing called a degree in journalism, which, in fact, actually, I think you just about beat Rory in terms of when you started doing these shows, because I think you came around about week four, week five to your first midweek drive. Rory kind of made it for about week six or week seven, or something.
It was week five.
Week five.
Week five. Yeah. That's still good, though. That's still good.
Rory McGowan, the possible transgendered future of Tessa Snart. No, I don't believe it. Eva, obviously, you know, and the awesome Ben Lewis. Who do you wish to chat to?
Oh, gosh, there's so many great people. I don't really know where to go. I mean, Eva, I'm kind of wondering what you're doing now, because you've had a busy time.
Hello.
Dancing and all of that. So what are you doing now?
Well, currently I'm having a break, because that's really needed. But then I start... on the 1st of December, I start working for a company called Great Grottos. Yeah, and that's being a little elf with them, which I'm looking forward to.
And Eva in an elf costume, frankly.
That's
great.
Eva the elf.
Exactly.
And
then I'm going down to a park called Ruda, which is in Devon, over Christmas and New Year.
Wow, so you've got a jam-packed
sort
of Christmas going on then, as an elf.
It is quite amazing. And the good news, Tessa, is we do actually have your ticket for the Food and Gift Festival, so that's
there. Thank you, I'm looking forward to that.
I should hope so too. Listen, stay with us, because we've decided to actually summon the joys of Phil Leonis. Hopefully he'll respond to this. If not, he may not. You know, it's something that would be featured on the Stone Tapes tomorrow evening, which we're going to put together tonight, as you'd expect, because Sam and company will also be arriving here. And it's from the awesome Man in the High Castle series, which some people might have heard of, some people might have connected, some people might read the whole thing, but I feel that it's only right to actually use this as almost the Phil Leonis theme. It starts off quietly but builds to a nice crescendo in a kind of, what some might almost say, kind of Lebensraum sort of way, and all sorts of things. If you are thinking of invading Poland after this, please don't.
Thank you.
Splendid. Dominic Lewis and Tomorrow Belongs to Me, the American translation as opposed to the original German. Anyway, quite away from that, we're not going down the line of Leni Riefenstahl because it's no point really. Tessa, would you like to sort of throw any questions to the quartet that we got there? You see, we've sent Ben off to actually communicate, tapping the table, postcards, other things with Phil Leonis. I don't know. He's stressed. He's got a marriage coming up in the new year, so who knows what could happen.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, it starts now. Who knows what's happening about black cats and other bits and pieces. Whom would you like to speak to, please, Tessa? Now, there are four co-presenters left in the studio.
Okay. Did you say David Fox was there?
Did I say David? Of course.
Magic magician?
Yay.
Yes. Lovely to hear your voice again, Tessa. How are you doing? You keeping well?
Hello, I am, thank you. How are you?
Very good, very good. Yeah, and how's things down in Peterborough?
Well, they're actually quite crazy at the moment. My family and I are moving house tomorrow, so we're currently sort of taking things down and packing and, yeah, all frantically. So it's all on the go.
I'm down at the Marriott Hotel in Peterborough on Sunday. I'm working down there. So if you're near the Marriott Hotel, pop along and see a little bit of magic, yes. That would be...
Oh, brilliant. Is that a wedding or...
Well, it's a wedding fair that's on. Right, it's okay. A wedding fair. So it's an opportunity for me to show people a little bit of magic and they can decide if they want to call upon my services and book me for their wedding. So I'm looking forward to that. Brilliant. Looking for how's it going though with the move? I mean, are you there? Are you winning? Or
we actually go tomorrow morning. We're moving in tomorrow, so the removal van is here at 9:30.
And so Tessa Glinton says farewell to the snots. And where are you heading off to?
It's a place. It's about 20 minutes up the road. It's a place called Deedon St Nicholas, which actually falls under Lincolnshire.
Deedon St Nicholas.
Deeping St. Nicholas.
But to shorten
it, you can just call it the Deeping.
Or DSN, presumably. Deep Space Nine. Deeping St. Nicholas, we'll find out more about that. Phil can only connect via telephone. So, Tessa, we have to ask you those last two questions. So, David, would you like to throw them to Tessa, please?
Well, Tessa, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have. It's been great to be back.
Excellent. Will you come back on the show?
Oh, of course. Thank you.
Don't forget, Christmas edition of Sound and Country Vision happening very shortly on this very station. Amazing.
Every morning you greet me, small and white, clean and bright, you look happy to meet me. Blossom of snow, may you bloom and grow forever. Edelweiss, Edelweiss, bless my homeland
Awesome. Eva, I mean, would you like to just lead us in a chorus of Edelweiss?
Oh, sure, just have a go and sing it.
Ausgezeichnet. And from Edelweiss to Herr Linus. Again, we play Tomorrow Belongs to Me. Centering on the whole Man in the High Castle system. Bethany, it's time to meet our regular correspondent, who normally Skypes in, hence the reason we thought it was just Skype. But this time, it's a traditional line with a natural bzzz on the line, which is Phil Linus. Talking about black cats and more other bits and pieces. But are you safe, Phil? Because as we found out from the Los Angeles City Zoo earlier with Emily Marin, thankfully things are dying down here. And although Randy Nort has been a hero on the beach and rescuing all sorts of other bits and pieces, we gather you're okay as well.
Oh yeah, I mean I'm okay. We've all been sucking in smoke for a week, but yes, it's been terrifying. I mean, and just literally, truly devastating and heartbreaking. Though you're the first person I'm trying this out on, but I am now going to spend the rest of my life trying to banish the phrase "natural disaster" from the lexicon, because I realize there never has been, there never will be, any such thing as a natural disaster. It is a contradiction in terms. If it's natural, how can it be a disaster? What makes it a disaster is the man-made component of what we lose. And so the answer, whether one believes in climate change or denies climate change, we had better understand how nature works and plan around that. The Americans, prior to colonials such as myself, understood this, and they would engage in controlled burns to aid nature so that nature didn't have to do all the heavy lifting. And indeed, one of my favorite places, as you know from listening to the podcast, that was lost was Paramount Ranch, this wonderful Old West, it's a park with an Old West town in it that is the main location in the TV series Westworld. And it burnt down, and I immediately contacted people saying, okay, how can we get it rebuilt? What can I do? How can I use the foundation? And they all said, well, yeah, sure, we can rebuild the town, but what about all the trees? And I said, the trees are going to be fine. The trees are 100-year-old oaks. There have been plenty of fires there. They are indigenous to California. And that's the beauty of nature, is indeed this fire swept through, burnt all the structures, and the trees are incredibly healthy and fine because nature knows not to plant trees in an area that will die in hot wind conditions. The trees that have gone up in flames are the ones not indigenous to the areas. Eucalyptus trees that are like bombs planted because they're full of oil. Or palm trees, which will burn. But the oaks that are native to those hills, those will survive long beyond us.
Yeah, it's almost as though Phil Innes is channeling his inner Johnny Appleseed just to actually get the sense there. It's awesome. We had the importance of fauna on the possible discussion topics. Perhaps the importance of flora as well might have fitted in with the performing arts syndrome, etc. Phil, did you catch any of the programme, or is that a ridiculous question because your computer's burnt in the flames as well, basically?
No, it's terrible because I had brought the equipment that I need to listen to the show from wherever I am.
Yes.
What do I call it? It's a signal adapter, basically. It adapts the signal so that I can listen to the show on headphones. And that's why I can't Skype, because I had it with me, and now somewhere en route, I have now lost it. So
stolen.
I'm stuck. I'm using technology from last decade.
I know.
All of a sudden.
I mean,
this is what we did about, 3 years ago? Exactly. We never used Skype with you, Phil. And now, we're going back in time.
I mean, Tessa clearly is just devastated. She feels that she's been bumped off the show because we had to clear the phone line. It's unbelievable.
But Ben, if I could go back in time 3 years, before the 2016 election, I would gladly exchange the new technology. In exchange for that, I would gladly.
As one Uncle Albert said in A4's and Offices, during the war.
Exactly. still. No. Anyway, just a reminder for the remaining 10 minutes of the programme. Good to see Eva, you stuck with us. It's a delight that you made it.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I don't need to go now. So I'd rather stay here anyway.
The overnight bed is in the corner for you, if you
wish. Thank you. I'll make my way there later.
Exactly. also, Rory McGowan, magician David Fox, who's been, again, impressing people to the extent that the Leonis Hollyman wedding next February is going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be, frankly, amazing. Except no David Fox, which I think is a bit of a lacuna in the whole thing.
Maybe some other time.
Will there be an Alex Lefchik? Will there be an Alex Lefchik?
That's the question, isn't it?
Lord. Bethany Gulliver, who's been making her debut on the evening. I mean, how has it been for you, Bethany? I mean, it's not a question I asked Phil to put to debutantes on the Midweek Drive show, but as a science fiction aficionado from Bromsgrove, what's it been like on the Midweek Drive evening slot?
Oh,
Oh, brilliant. I'd say both of them have their merits, to be honest, but I quite like this evening slot.
I mean, there were times when Phil could use Skype that he could actually connect on the morning edition as well, but it's going to be Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar, Stephanie Romaszewski, Richard Fitzwilliams talking about two movies I've actually seen. Thou shalt not grow old, or They Shall Not Grow Old, I should say, by Peter Jackson. He's done The Hobbits. He's done King Kong.
In fact, I watched that, actually.
So did I, Ben.
And it was brilliant.
Exactly. There we are. We were agreed on.
Good. He's made a good movie again, because I like that you listed all his not good movies.
Ooh.
But he did Once Upon a Time. The Hobbits? Come on. Dear Lord, that was the longest year of my life watching one of those movies. But you know, way back when, I mean, he was the cat's meow. I mean, he was the real deal. So I'm glad to see he's returned to form. But please, before you leave science fiction and the debutante, you played me in with Edelweiss. Does that mean that someone there or some ones have seen the new season of Man in the High Castle?
Well, I'm certainly working my way through it. It will be featured on the Stone Tapes, and Sam and David are already in the house, as we use in DJ vernacular speak. Yes, Sam, Dave, day in the house. Tragically,
but season three is it excellent? Is it
half of it is looking very good. Nobody in the studio, I think, has actually accessed the Amazon Prime series as yet, but it's well worth working through. As indeed are seasons one and two. We earlier played, of course, Just for You, Phil. It was your theme tune, Tomorrow Belongs to Me, because I thought that would have been a nice sort of stirring line that Feldmarschall Führer Linus would have actually gone to the fore on that basis.
Oh my God! Let's put an end to that rumor right now. Although it was interesting when I went to Berlin to shoot part of Truth Is Out There, and my driver meets me at the airport, and he doesn't really speak English. Delightful man, good company. Doesn't speak English. I don't speak German, but I was able to communicate with him that I did have a grandfather from that area, and I spelled the name for him. And he quickly dialed up for me a page about a Nazi general who had the same last name. So there we go.
And at the end of the day, we're all just fictional characters, as we found out earlier from Ian Ray. It's fiction. It's all
we are.
Creating our own sort of routines. So, yes, we didn't really quite give you the opportunity to speak to Bethany. But we are now, Phil, or indeed David, or indeed Ava, or indeed Ben, or indeed Rory. It's over to you, Phil Leonis. You have, to be precise, 6.5 English minutes.
Well, what science fiction topics have been discussed? What has been the science fiction highlight of the show?
Bethany.
Of the show?
Well, you can take the module if you wish, basically.
The module,
exactly.
Because so many, to be honest. We've covered a lot of the different sort of inter-genres of science fiction in general, I'd say, and they've all been really interesting.
Oh, bless her. Yeah, checks in the post. It's wonderful. It's great.
To be honest.
Well, there we are.
You know what phrase, Alex, I hear about science fiction that's used, and this seems like one of those things that marketing departments come up with, you know, because, oh, when people think of science fiction, they either think of science, which, of course, is outlawed in America, or, you know, they think of spaceships. And science fiction is so much more than that. So a marketing department somewhere came up with the phrase speculative fiction.
Yeah, I've been there.
Which is, or in other words, as I call it, fiction.
No.
That's the point. All fiction is speculative. Anyway.
So true. Anyway, Phil, in your role as head boy with the traditional...
My soapbox is standing tall this morning. I love it.
It's the way forward. Any words for David Fox or Rory or Eva, who will be performing Eva whereabouts in Humberside next year, should Phil and Lily fancy actually trekking over to the delights of just south of Hull and Humberside?
So it's called Whittlesey Sands in Whittlesey, just by the side of Hull. I believe about 20 minutes from Hull. Mm. I've calculated myself.
I think that's got to be an impression that all our Los Angelinos, to use Emily Marin's wonderful phrase for referring to the citizens of Los Angeles as Los Angelinos. I mean, Phil will have missed the point. He may catch it up on the podcast later, where, of course, Emily was very keen to actually point out that it's got to be just right, the weather for Los Angelinos, because they get so fussed about whether it's, you know, appropriate. So, I mean, this is true, David, isn't it, really? I cited Phil.
Yeah, went to a wedding over there 18 years ago.
Yes.
In Los Angeles. We had a great time.
Yeah, yeah.
Great time. Venice Beach, fantastic. Right. Went down there.
Are they still together? No, I'm just
oh, this does go. Yes, it's the last time I checked.
Oh, well,
it's 18 years.
Yeah, 18 years in Los Angeles speak, it's like several lifetimes. It's great. Sorry, it's just.
Well, I thought you meant out in Venison Beach, still together. That's what I thought you meant.
Did they get married?
I have a magic.
You have a magic question, Phil. I know.
Well, a magic. Yeah, kind of a question. A magic related
story. Did it come out of thin air?
Oh boy! You just made more of my time slot disappear. I'm producing and hosting this variety show set in on New Year's Eve 1949 on November 25th, and so we're trying to do nothing but period appropriate entertainment. And I really wanted to have a magician on the bill. And scheduling conflicts and made the magicians disappear. But I turned to a lot of my young filmmaking friends, and I said, "Hey, will you fill in for the magician?" And all my young filmmaker friends all said, "I'm a filmmaker. I don't know how to do magic." And it was stunning to me, this generational difference, because I'm of the age where if you wanted to be a filmmaker, you also dabbled in amateur magic.
Yeah. Okay.
Simpatico nature between if you loved movies and you loved magic, you loved both of them. And so it's really interesting how it feels like, at least for a younger generation,
very, very strange.
Somehow.
In the restaurant last night, I sat down at a table. I was travelling back from doing a show somewhere, and there's a gentleman at the other table with his wife, and he said, "You're a magician, aren't you?" And I don't know how he worked that one out, but he was actually an engineer, but he also made illusions for props for a magician friend of his. So it's a curious thing. Yet he also dabbled with, this man was an engineer by trade, but he also dabbled in magic. So rather like you're saying, like filmmakers also dabbling in other things. I think that's the thing nowadays, that people become quite what's the word I'm looking for, like tunnel vision. We've got to enjoy life and other aspects of life and not just become too caught up in our own little area. Phil, would you agree with that? Yeah, we've got to enjoy other aspects.
And you've got to stop tapping the table, because it makes sounds dreadful.
It does. It's
just not good for a radio thing.
I get very animated.
I think it's one of the things that keeps us young. It keeps our brain developing, too, and continually evolving, is to be able to look at things. You know, magic teaches you a different way of looking at things. It teaches you the important, just like good comedy does, right? It changes your perspective on things, and there's nothing healthier than that.
This is true. I think it was the Charles Bukowski said, who's one of your, he became a resident of LA, he said that this idea of having a badge, of being stuck in a box, concerned him. It's good to have explore other avenues in life.
Goodbye, yes. 40s, hello 50s, Sunday, November the 25th at 7 p.m. Los Angeles time, obviously, PST.
Yeah, I turn 50 on stage during the performance.
Wow.
That's how the theme
is. Linus 50, quite literally. Book him, Dano.
Is it birthday cake?
Yeah.
Party poppers.
Lily Holloman will be bursting out of the cake with a celebratory routine accompanied by the delights of fuzz ordering, I'm sure. Or maybe it's just a case of a whole celebration too. Goodbye 40s, hello 50s, and your chance to actually have a variety show set during the final hour of New Year's Eve in 1949. Eva, it's time for us to say farewell.
I know.
It's time for us to actually say thanks to William Coles, Amy Parkinson, and Bridget Nielsen and Ray Parker Jr. in Manchester, together at the same time, singing Ghostbusters.
What a dream.
December the 1st, it's reality. Emily Marin from the Los Angeles Zoo and Botanical Gardens. Ian Ray, the band Strawbear, Tessa Snart and Phil Leonis, and in the studio, Heather Knox, Ben Lewis, Rory McGowan, Eva McDonald, Bethany Gulliver and David Fox. What can we say? Phil, last two questions will be delivered by Ben.
Phil, have you enjoyed your telephonic link buster in the show?
Well, it just became more interesting with the introduction of Ray Parker Jr. and suddenly we're out of time. Because I'm a walking factotum on all things Ray Parker Jr. Don't get me started, or rather do get me started and pour me a drink.
You'll have to join us in the morning to discuss further, won't you?
This is The Critical Thing, with or without, well, obviously it won't be without Scott, because as I say, in the morning, Simon Weston, CBE, talk about the Gibraltar Literary Festival. From Gibraltar, Gabriella Peralta, Susan Quillam, relationship expert, talking about what we do in sleep times. Ian Lennox, Sally Bones, editor of Brand at World Vision, talking about children losing their toys and they're being rescued thereupon. And it's Anti-Bullying Week. And we've got Dr. Pixie McKenna on Christmas and Eating Disorders, and Daley Thompson, CBE, and Charlotte Grant saying about why, if you're thinking about becoming an NHS midwife, don't. It's controversial, I know, but we're going to go straight up to the news in a matter of seconds from now. Thanks to the studio team. We've already mentioned them. Thank you, dear listener. Keep on keeping on regardless. Phil Lewis, you can now relax and have an awesome day and stop breathing in smoke.